Well, it's a delight to have on with me today here on BPN Radio a man that has been my friend for the past 25 years, Gerald Davis. And Gerald is the author of several books. He spent 20 years as a pastor of churches in the earlier years of his ministry. And for the rest of his 59 years of ministry, he's been a guest speaker in churches across America, traveling over 40 countries, doing missionary work activities. He earned his Doctor of Divinity degree from Gulf Coast Seminary in Panama City, Florida. And he now lives in Conroe, Texas, with his wife, Thelma. They were married 60 years on June the 1st of this year. Quite an accomplishment. Gerald, it's a delight to have a true pioneer here on the broadcast with us today. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Dale.
And you've been a very faithful man. You've certainly been a tremendous influence in my life. You've been a man of faith, a man of prayer. I'll never forget when Gene was diagnosed with cancer in 2004, 10 years ago, how you stood in faith with us and give us daily encouragement almost and prayed prayers of faith. And I know that you've accomplished a lot in your ministry, and I certainly honor and respect you and your wife, Thelma, and thank you for your friendship. And you have blazed a trail for many, many to follow. And there's a lot of different subjects that we could talk about, and I'm looking forward even to have you on again. But today, I'd like for you to talk about indebtedness, getting out of debt, how people can prosper, how God desires for us to prosper, because I know that you've written a lot of materials, recorded a lot of videos and CDs. And so for the next 20 minutes, I'd like for you to talk to us about how to come out of debt, how to prosper. There's a lot of people just feel like they can never get their head above water. But I know that you have learned some principles that have worked in your life and have worked in many other people's lives. So why don't you just talk to us a little bit today?
I will. I was below the bottom, Brother Dale. And when I say below the bottom, I'm talking about in the courts. In 1975, and had lost a business that I had, and everything was gone. And I had been a good boy, so to speak. I was born and raised in a minister's home, both mother and daddy, preachers and pastors. And I had lived a good life. God had given me a good wife, had two sons. And I hadn't defaulted in my marriage. I had paid tithes from the time I was a child at home, taught to. And yet I went under financially, and it put me in a prayer mode of seeking and asking God why. I just could not understand. And everybody, all the ministers that I knew were always struggling with money. And, you know, if I had the money, here's what I would do, was the typical conversation. And for 2 years, I sought the Lord to talk to me. And one day, while I was in my office on a Saturday evening, I just leaned back in my chair, and I just said, God, you know, I'm preparing a message here to preach to the people tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about what we're going to have when we die. And I said, it seems like I don't have any answers to help people now before they die. What is it that I'm missing? Why did I go under financially, you know, just 2 years before this? Why? I don't understand. I said, Father, you know, you told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I'd do it if I had the money. They won't give me those airplane tickets. They won't give me those hotel rooms. I have to have money to do it. And I'm just not into begging. I can't beg God's people. I said, I know you've got ways and answers to our issues and our lack that I just apparently have never heard preached or taught. And I just don't understand. I said, you know, God, if I had the money, I would go. And I remember I didn't mean to be short with God, but I remember I said, you know, God, what is your problem? I'd go if I had the money, and you love them more than I do. And I heard the Lord speak to me just downside in my spirit, how that voice can just float up into your conscious. And the Lord said to me, I saved your soul. Did you do anything to get saved? I hesitated for a while. I said, well, sure I did. What did you do? I said, well, I confessed with my mouth, believed in my heart that you'd raise Jesus from the dead, and you saved me. And I heard this in my spirit. He said, good. You did what I told you to do, and I did what I told you I would do. Then he asked me another question. I've healed you numbers of times in your life. Did you do anything to get healed? And I thought, well, sure. What did you do? Well, I did several things, and sometimes I just resisted the devil, like you said in your word, and he'd flee from me. And other times I call for the elders of the church, and they'd lay hands on me, pray for me, anoint me with oil. And you hear me? And I heard again down in my spirit, good. You did what I told you to do. Then I did what I said I would do. Then I heard this. Why are you praying for money? That's not what I told you to do to get it. If you did what I told you to do, you'd have it. Well, at that point, my mind immediately went to the tithing. And I said, Lord, I've tithed all of my life. I don't understand what that means. And then I saw it. The Lord said, yes, all of your life, you have avoided being a God robber. You just weren't stealing from me. What have you done with your money? And then I saw it. He just showed it to me like this. If a farmer owns land and he wants to crop, if it's a lot of land, he has the seed and he hires someone to go sow his seed. When the harvest comes in, who's going to get that harvest? The one who sowed the seed on his behalf, or the farmer who owned the seed and owned the property? And clearly, it just was so clear to me. God, the owner of the seed and the land, the farmer, owns the harvest because that was his money. He pays wages to those who do his service and sow his seed on his behalf. That's the tithe. And then I saw it. If a person who is hired by the farmer wants his own crop, if he wants his own harvest, he must take out of his money, his seed, and sow it in a field, and then he has the right to the harvest. Whoever owns the seed and the field has the right to the harvest. And then I saw the difference between tithing and giving. At that point, I knew he was telling me that I was not a giver. And I had always tithed, but I was very careful about any giving because it seemed like I was in a bind anyway. How could I give more? So I felt like I was doing pretty good with my tithe.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when the giving portion just rose up in front of me, and then Luke 6:38, given it shall be given, and the Lord said, You did well by not stealing my money. What are you going to do with your money? That's where the harvest is. Well, that changed my life, completely changed my life. And I started, oh God, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, because you know you don't know, you're open to learn. And I'm going to teach you if you listen to me. And Brother Dale, from that point on, he started showing me things in the scriptures. There were things that were received by some of the people that I preached and taught it to, some who did not receive it. And there were levels. Some would say receive, you know, more than others would. But it seemed like there were limitations, you know, on every level of how far a person was willing to go. And I say that based on the fact that I began to teach a debt-free living lifestyle. you know, how to be free from the borrowing, using other people's money instead of our own money. And when God began to show me those things, those principles, it just began to open up a whole new world. And inside of 1 year, I made my first trip overseas, stayed 30 days, got back home, and never had to borrow a dime. It was completely paid for. So that you know, that's the beginning of how these teachings
And what year was it you had that revelation?
That would have been in 70. That would have been in 77.
Wow. And so you're, how long did it take for you to get out of debt?
Well, by 1987, 10 years following the opening up of those principles and the words the Lord taught me, I was completely out of debt 10 years later, except for my home. And I had about, I guess, 7 or 8 years left on my home. And so I haven't had to borrow money now at the time of this radio broadcast. I haven't had to borrow money since 1987.
Wow, that's
but
a long time.
I didn't get my home paid off until 99, and that happened supernaturally based on the giving principles.
Well, give our the people here listening to BPN Radio today, give them a few principles getting out of debt. I know that I do know that the key is sowing the seed above the tithe. But a lot of people say, "Well, I just have enough money to pay my bills and get by. I don't have any extra seed." What can you say to them?
You know, Brother Dale, I found out that just being a giver and a tither was not the end of it. It's not something that is automatic. Our faith must constantly be there in order for these principles to operate and function in our life. Obedience is the end result of true faith, you know. And when we obey God, we're showing Him that we believe Him. And I have taught this after I learned it in my own life, that people can get out of debt and off of the borrowing lifestyle in the same way they got saved. We didn't get saved because we did everything right. We got saved by grace. And we can get out of debt using our faith and believing God for the miracles on the same principle, by grace. You know, God said in Deuteronomy 15 to His people, "I want you to have a law of release where you release everybody among you that's in debt every 7 years." And He said, "I want this law to be intact until the time that there be no poor among you." That clearly tells us what God's dream is. He wants His people free from bondage and out from under the lifestyle of debt. You know, when we're borrowers, you know, we're not the lenders, we're the borrowers. I suppose some people can mix it up some, but it's not God's will. It's not a sin to borrow, but it's not His will that His people should have to. He wants His people to rise up and become the lenders and be the head instead of the tail. And so I've learned 5 levels of godly scriptural prosperity. If you want me to, I'll name them for you.
Yeah, you go ahead, Daryl.
All right. The 5 levels of godly scriptural prosperity, based on everything I have learned from the time God began to speak to me in 1977. Level number 1, get a job. God never promised anybody an abundance who wouldn't work. You know, we have welfare programs. Thank God for helping the poor and those needy and those who can't work. But a person can work if they want to, doing something. Even paraplegics find some way to produce and do things if they want to. It's just a matter of desire. We have to recognize the principle. You know, Paul was awful severe in his statement when he said, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. But at the same time, God is a God of mercy and kindness and goodness, and we do help the poor. But we can't, but those who are on a welfare system of some kind, you know, it may be that their basic needs would be met, but they don't have anything extra to help others. And God wants us to be in position so that we can lend and not borrow. Then the second level, Brother Dale, is to learn to invest. When you have a job and you have money coming in, learn to invest without taking a loss. Well, nearly anything that you invest in that man has control of stands a chance of taking a loss. But the one investment that will not take a loss is when I give it on the horizontal in the name of Jesus and release it as a gift unto God. Give as unto, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And when I do that, I am lending money, literally, scripturally, it says so. I am lending money to God when I give to the poor or to anybody that needs help.
Yeah.
So God views it as a loan when I give.
Right.
And I will repay, says the Lord. Level number three, get out of debt, because debt has so much disadvantage to it. You pay far more than we realize in interest when we are in debt. And not only that, you're under control instead of being in control. The borrower is servant to the lender.
Yeah.
And I believe the difference between that being the head or the tail as a Christian is basically whether or not we are under the control of men or strictly free to operate and listen to the Holy Ghost and follow God.
Yeah.
I like it when the credit bureau no longer controls what I can or can't do. I want God to be in control. I want him to speak to me, and if he tells me to do something, I want to be obedient and do it.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to me on one occasion, came to me in the night and asked me if I would send $5,000 to a certain church. And the Lord just spoke to him, and he said they're raising money, they don't want to borrow. And I had preached down there many times, and I said, yes, I will. I didn't, you know, I had the money, but I was trying to get money together for an airplane. And so I was trying to save money and didn't want to borrow. And when the Lord said that to me, I said, well, yes, I will. He didn't tell me to do it. He just asked me if I would.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got up, I went and made out that check, and I sent it to that church. And a short time later, a man called me on the phone and said, Brother Gerald, I understand that you're trying to buy an airplane. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, you prayed for me and for my wife when she was pregnant and prayed over a healthy baby. And he said, we have a fine baby boy. And he said, I just could never forget that you said you wanted to buy your own airplane. He said, could I meet you somewhere? I want to give you a check and help you. And so I met with him at a restaurant, and he handed me a check for $30,000. And on my way home, after I left him, my Thelma was with me, and I said, darling, why? Why do you think that man gave us that kind of check? I said, I've never had anybody give us that kind of money. No church, no individual, no business, nobody has ever handed us that much money.
Yeah.
And she kind of shrugged her shoulders, and suddenly I heard that little voice from down inside said, you never had given away $5,000 before either.
Yeah.
So he raised me to another level, because I never had given away that much money at one time.
Yeah.
The fourth level is develop your own storehouse. have your own money in reserve after you get out of debt and get free from that kind of bondage, then develop your own storehouse. And you remember in different places, God said, I will bless you in your storehouses.
Right.
And so it's not just talking about the storehouse of the church or the ministry. God wants us to have our own reserves. He wants us to have our own money.
Yeah.
And so he has blessed us in various ways. I don't have any other source of income other than those that God just puts together and hands me money from different directions, you know, in people's lives.
Yeah.
So today, I bought that airplane, paid cash, and bought, you know, a couple of cars, three cars, in fact, and paid cash for them. And I've bought another home when I moved from where I was 5 years ago, nearly 5 years, and bought another home and paid cash for that. How? Well, I can't tell people how on an individual basis, except right. that God Almighty, by His grace, has provided, because that's where I set my faith, and I tried to obey Him when He said give.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. Gerald, is there one more principle there? Was that all five?
Well, you know, being a liberal soul is something that I guess not too many of us ever really come into. God said the liberal soul shall be made fat.
Yeah.
If I can always think in terms of doing unto others like I want them to do to me, mm-hmm. and do it first.
Yeah.
Then trust God to see to it that all my needs are met and supplied.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that God literally views me having my own money in reserve as a need.
Mm-hmm.
He views that as a need, not just a surplus, but it's a need. And I can't function in a no-borrowing lifestyle as long as I have to lean on other people or the banks for my money.
Right. Well, I believe these principles are very true, and I know that Gene and I, you know, we have put these principles in motion. I know they work, and I know they have worked for you, and I know there are people that are listening today that have a tremendous desire to be out of debt, and I believe that you've given some principles. I know that you could teach for many hours, but you've given some principles that will help people. And I believe that that a desire needs to be expressed for 2015 for people to come out of debt. And so I want you to pray for those that are listening, because I believe that there's a lot of people that are going to say, I believe that 2015 is the year that I'm going to come out of debt, that I am going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So I know that you have helped so many individuals and so many churches come out of debt so that they can prosper. I know that a lot of people want to prosper, but I believe the first step is just getting out of debt. And so I want you to pray for the people today, Gerald. And it's a tremendous privilege to have you on today. So would you say a prayer for the listeners today, the people that says, I want to come out of debt, I want to begin to prosper, but I believe that God's going to help me get out of debt, and I'm going to follow these principles. So say a prayer for us.
I will do it. There are 13 churches, Brother Dale, that I know of, and it's gone on from there to a lot more that I have heard about, but that I know of who got out of debt because they established a plan in their church of getting the church out of debt, and the people joined in and did it, and they got out of debt in the process. Lots of letters. Had lots of pastors that just have talked to me and sent word to me. So let's do that. Let's agree in prayer. Father, it is with great joy that we know in our hearts that when we pray, you do hear us and you do help us. Father, I just encourage any listener, if you're by radio, however you're receiving this, any kind of receiver, just lay your hands on that as though we were connecting physically with our hands and believe with me now. Father, I pray that this person, these persons who are reaching out to you, Father, there are so many desperate people out there, so many desperate, not just unbelievers, but your children that love you and believe in you and trust you, but we're destroyed, we're limited for lack of knowledge. I pray for them. I pray the Holy Ghost now will witness in their hearts that you're hearing this prayer. And as they make their determination and decision to trust you and to follow the principles, Father, that are established in your word and do those things, that we receive deliverance from bondage and from debt supernaturally, like we receive deliverance, Father, for our souls by grace through faith. Let it be so now. Many stories, Father, of how you provided supernaturally to get your people out of debt, both in the scriptures and also in my own life. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you now for doing even more than we know to ask. And may every heart be encouraged today to know that God has ears to hear, has a long arm to reach, and his hand is resting with palms down to bless you, and to help you as you lift your palms up. Thank you for hearing my prayer, and thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share it with Brother Dale Gentry today.
Well, thank you very much, Gerald Davis. What a blessing you've been to my life these years that I've known you, these past 25 years, and a faithful man, 59 years in the ministry and 60 years in marriage. That's a pretty good track record. And we need men like you that have set the pace for us. And tell the people how they can get your materials, because I know that you have sermons and materials. And how can people contact you? How can they make a connection with you, Gerald?
Well, I have a website. It's GeraldDavis.org, or they can connect with me through email. It's GDavis@GeraldDavis.org, or you can write to our mailing address, 9955 Tulip Street, Conroe 77385, Texas. And we'll be most happy to respond to you. I'll write a letter to you if you need me to. If you want to tell me your situation, we'll join with Brother Dale and his team, and we'll be prayer partners with you. God will bring you out. Amen.
I believe that, Gerald. And thank you for sharing that with us. And God bless you and Thelma. And may you continue to be the tremendous blessing that you have been. It's been great to have you on today. And I know that a lot of people, these are going to be prime words that they're going to be able to use in 2015 to come out of debt. Thank you very much, Gerald Davis.
Amen.
God bless you.